Open John's Gospel, chapter 18. John chapter 18. This evening we come to consider verse 28 to verse 38, the truth on trial. Malam ini kita mempelajari Yohanes pasal ke-18 ayat 28 sampai ke 38. Kebenaran dihakimkan. Now we know that the Lord Jesus Christ has already pronounced himself to be the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. This is found in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 6. And throughout he has been speaking the truth, which people found difficulty to accept. And the irony of it is now, the truth himself is being put on trial. Already the Lord Jesus Christ has been brought on trial before the Jews. And if we analyze the Jewish trial, we noted that there were three stages to it. First, he was brought to Annas, the former high priest. Then he was brought to the Sanhedrin, who had a very early morning trial, which was contrary to their law, and to give a semblance of legitimacy, they quickly met again very early in the day to try him, and then they brought him to the civil authorities. When we consider the civil trial, again there are three stages. First, he was tried before Pilate. Pilate found nothing wrong with him, and he heard that Herod was in town, so he handed him over to Herod, where he had a second trial. Herod found nothing wrong with him and passed him back to Pilate, and then Pilate gave him the third trial, or the third time of trial. Now John the Apostle is not interested in giving us all the details. He wants to report the trial from his own perspective to bring out certain truths. Throughout, his aim has been to draw us to believe that Jesus Christ indeed is the Savior of the world. That is his declared purpose of writing this gospel. So as we come to this passage, our interest is not so much how it harmonizes with the other accounts in the other gospel. Our interest is rather to look at the angle that John wants us to see. And since it is impossible to cover the civil trial at one sitting, we have to look at today's passage, which is verse 28 to verse 38. And based on this passage alone, we want to consider what is the main thing that stands out. And you discover that the last verse in the passage seems to point us to the significant thing about this part of the trial. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." Now it is amazing that Jesus Christ, who had claimed himself to be the truth, is now being put on trial. And the man who was trying to try him found nothing wrong with him, and yet he would not release him. Instead, under pressure by the Jews, he continued on with the trial, which we would look at, God willing, and see other aspects of it. But for this evening's passage, we want to take note that the one who claimed himself to be the truth is now being put on trial. When we put a person on trial, we want to find out the truth. And here the truth himself is being put on trial. What an irony. Jadi pada malam ini kita ingin mempelajari pengadilan Yesus Kristus. Oleh kerana tidak ada masa untuk sekaligus mempelajari apa yang terjadi dalam pengadilannya di hadapan penguasa sivil, kita tumpukan perhatian pada ayat-ayat 28 sampai ke 38 sahaja. Dan kita tahu Rasul Yohanes melaporkan pengadilan itu dari segi tertentu untuk menitik beratkan sesuatu. Tujuan dia menulis Injil ini ialah supaya pembacanya akan percaya siapakah dia Yesus Kristus, iaitu dia juru selamat orang-orang yang berdosa. Supaya pembaca-pembacanya akan percaya kepada Yesus Kristus. Jadi dalam petikan Alkitab pada malam ini, apakah yang menjadi perkara penting yang menunjul diri kepada kita? Kita dapati ayat ke-38 itu semacam menyatakan sesuatu kepada kita. Pilatus itu enggan terima perkataan-perkataan Yesus Kristus. Dan dia menanyakan apakah dia kebenaran. Dan dia enggan mengetahui apa dia kebenaran. Padahal Yesus Kristus sudah mengaku diri sebagai kebenaran. Akulah jalan. Akulah kebenaran dan akulah kehidupan. Tiada sesiapa pun yang datang ke Tuhan Bapa melainkan melalui aku. Jadi orang yang memanggil diri, mengaku diri itu kebenaran, sekarang sudah diadilkan. Apabila seseorang dihadapkan ke mahkamah, kita ingin mengetahui apakah yang sebenarnya berlaku. Dan sebaliknya di sini, orang yang mengaku dirinya sebagai kebenaran diadili oleh orang yang tidak benar. Jadi, apakah boleh kita pelajari dari peristiwa ini? Now, we learn from this passage that we must recognize who Jesus really is. Here he is the truth, and the truth is now placed on trial. And there are three points that I would direct your attention to. Firstly, we learn that religious hypocrisy is never compatible with the truth. We note, first of all, that the Jewish leaders, when they brought the Lord Jesus Christ to Pilate, the governor of southern Palestine at that time, to put him on trial, they refused to enter the praetorium, the courts, the palace where Pilate was staying. Why? They regarded themselves as so holy that they would not defile themselves in too close an interaction with the Gentiles, the non-Jews. And added to the fact that they were Jewish and leaders of their nation, and these people at that time were considering the fact that up to now they haven't eaten the Passover feast on the Saturday evening at midnight, or the moment 6 o'clock came when the day was over. They should have prepared the lamb and slaughtered the lamb and cooked the lamb and prepared to eat the Passover feast. But they were kept busy dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ. While the Lord and his disciples had been eating the Passover feast, they were waiting and waiting and perhaps wringing their hands and walking up and down, talking to one another, wondering whether Judas would arrive as he had promised. And finally, Judas arrived. And the moment Judas arrived and gave them the information as to where Jesus Christ was, they hurriedly got together, the temple police, together with the detachment of soldiers from the army camp nearby. Together they had rushed to the Garden of Gethsemane. And that evening, remember how the crowds joined them, and then together they carried torches, lanterns, clubs, swords, and they went to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember the commotion that took place there, and how Peter took out his sword and sliced off the ear of one of the servants of the high priest. And the Lord Jesus Christ rebuked him and touched the servant's ear, and the servant was healed. Remember how the Lord Jesus Christ was taken to the Jewish authorities and how he was tried. Remember how Peter was confronted by the people at that time, and he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the cock crowed. And all that was happening throughout that whole night until the next morning. So the Jewish authorities had not had time to take the Passover meal. And now they took the Lord Jesus Christ to Pilate to hand him over to the civil authorities to be tried. The reason was the Romans had rule over Israel in those days, and according to their colonial laws, no one could put anyone to death except the ruling authority, the Roman authorities. The Sanhedrin, the leaders of the Jewish people, could only sentence people to death, but they could not execute that sentence. They must hand the person over to the Roman authorities, and if the Roman authorities find that the person is truly guilty and worthy of death, then they would pass the sentence. Then only the person could be put to death. Later on, they were going to stone Stephen to death, regardless of what the Roman authorities thought. They just got carried away and they stoned Stephen to death. But tonight, they brought the Lord Jesus Christ to these Jewish authorities. And the first thing that they made sure that they wouldn't do was to defile themselves by going too close to the Gentiles. So they handed Jesus Christ over at the gate, refusing to enter because they wanted to keep themselves ceremonially clean. They were more concerned about ceremonial cleanness rather than moral cleanness. They were out to destroy an innocent person while they themselves were acting in hypocrisy like that. Then they were prepared to make a false accusation and assume the person guilty contrary to their law. In verse 30, we are told that when Pilate asked them what accusation was being brought against this man, the answer was in verse 30, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Now look at the way they answered. Firstly, it showed impatience towards Pilate. "You should have known, we wouldn't have come all the way to you if this man were not guilty." Already they were assuming that Jesus Christ was guilty. And they wanted Pilate to take their words that this man was guilty. And secondly, you note not only the note of impatience in how they said it, but they were also self-righteous. They were saying, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him to you." In other words, whatever we do in this matter must be right. You see, otherwise, what do you expect? Do you think we will waste our time to bring this man to you? So take it that we have done our job. We know what we are doing. Our judgment has to be right. Otherwise, we wouldn't have brought him to you. See? So you see now that these were men who were prepared to put the Lord to death like this. They were prepared to assume Jesus Christ already guilty and worthy of death. And they wanted the civil authorities to accept their word for it. See? Now, their law required that before you accuse anyone, you must have witnesses. So if you accuse someone of breaking the Sabbath, for example, and you bring this accusation to your Jewish court, the Sanhedrin would have to ask, is there one or two other witnesses before they would give proper consideration to your accusation. And here, they were bringing this person to be tried, and they already take it that he's guilty. So that was the way they behave. In other words, they have one standard, but when it comes to themselves accusing others, they have a different standard. They were prepared to forgo whatever that they regarded as right. And in fact, when we compare with Luke's gospel, we discover that they at this point put definite charges against the Lord Jesus Christ by saying, "He perverts our nation," that is one. "Now he forbids people to pay taxes," that is two. that he claims himself to be the Christ, a king. So that is three. So in short, this is a politically dangerous person. Get rid of him. And these were Jewish religious leaders. You see another example of their hypocrisy here. Then certainly, they wanted Jesus Christ killed. Nothing else but killed. And we are told, when Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law," they said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." In other words, we want death. Death for this person, nothing else. That's why we have brought him to you. See, before even there is any trial, to determine the truth of the accusation, before considering the question of witnesses present, before even considering the verdict whether this person is truly guilty or not, before even considering the weightiness of the crime and whether it is worthy of death or not, or some other punishment is more suitable, before you consider all this, you already want death. Death upon this man. You see? So this man were extreme people. They were supposed to be the most fair, the most just, the people whom others could look up to administer justice. And these were religious people who were supposed to uphold the law of God. And these were people who would look down upon others who do not know God's law, who are sinners. They are not sinners. They uphold God's law. But these are people who wanted death on Jesus Christ. This is hypocrisy. 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 These people showed their true colors. Pilate probably was taken aback. He probably didn't quite expect these people were that extreme, that they had already made the judgment that it was death that they were seeking for Jesus Christ. He probably thought that it was a matter of trying Jesus Christ for whatever crime, and they determined the type of punishment for him. That's all. But it turned out to be that serious. This man, this top man of the Jewish society, wanted death, nothing short of death, for this Jesus whom they are bringing to him. Jadi kita dapati perkara pertama ialah kepura-puraan dalam agama tidak cocok dengan kebenaran. Pemimpin-pemimpin orang Yahudi pada masa itu seperti talam dua muka. Mereka mengaku diri sebagai pemimpin orang Yahudi yang mengenali Tuhan dan yang mempertahankan keutuhan undang-undang mereka. Tapi pada masa ini mereka yang ingin Yesus dibunuh, dan lihat cara mereka membawa Yesus Kristus supaya dihakimi oleh Pilatus. Mereka membawa Yesus sampai ke pintu besar rumah Pilatus itu dan sendiri enggan masuk. Mengapa? Kerana mereka orang Yahudi tidak boleh bercampur gaul terlalu dekat dengan orang bukan Yahudi yang kotor. Dan lagipun pada malam itu mereka belum sempat lagi memakan domba yang disembelih untuk Paskah. Mereka terlalu sibuk menguruskan perkara Yesus Kristus ini. Jadi sebelum makan, mereka tidak ingin mengotorkan diri. Mereka hanya ingin menjaga kebersihan dari segi ibadah saja. Mereka tidak mengira kebersihan moral. Okay. Dan mereka membuat tuduhan bahwa Yesus adalah seorang penjahat. Ayat ke-30. Mereka sudah buat keputusan, tak mengirakan sama ada perlukan saksi-saksi atau tidak. Tak mengira sama ada hakim itu akan mendapati orang itu bersalah atau tidak. Tak mengira sama ada hukuman yang setimpal dengan perbuatan salah itu apa dia. Mereka tak kira. Mereka menganggap dia sudah salah. Dia ini orang bersalah. Dan juga apabila Pilatus ingin menolak Yesus Kristus, mereka kata Yesus seharusnya dibunuh, dijatuhkan hukuman bunuh. Ayat 31. Mereka tidak ingin terima apa-apa hukuman yang lain, melainkan kematian. Yesus mesti dibunuh. Itu yang mereka inginkan. Kononnya mereka ini orang atasan, pemimpin orang Yahudi, orang yang menegakkan keadilan. Kononnya ini orang-orang yang saleh, orang yang kenali Tuhan. Rupa-rupanya mereka ini dalam dua muka. Di hadapan cantik saja, di belakang hodoh. Mereka menunjukkan diri sebagai orang yang berpegang kepada hukum-hukum Tuhan, padahal mereka melanggar hukum-hukum Tuhan. Kita dapati ini semua pura-pura saja. Kepura-puraan itu tidak cocok dengan kebenaran. Orang yang benar-benar saleh, orang yang benar-benar kenali Tuhan, tidak akan melakukan perkara-perkara semacam ini. We learn that religious hypocrisy really is incompatible with the truth. It just shows up so very obviously that this is not consistent with God or the things of God. Then secondly, personal disinterest will never benefit from the truth. Look now at Pilate. See? Look at Pilate. He was so close to the truth, and yet he did not benefit from the truth. The light has come, and yet he was still in darkness. And he was actually having interaction with the light of the world, and yet it ended with him continuing in darkness. His tragic, when we look at it from that point of view, how near and yet so far. Now let us take it step by step. Normally, it is good never to be a busybody in other people's affair. Too many people get themselves involved in other people's affair, and they make things worse, and they bring trouble upon themselves. The Bible tells us to keep clear of being busybodies in other people's affairs. But on the other hand, it is wrong for us to be apathetic when it is your responsibility. For example, you are a member of a community. You live in a certain area. The security, the safety, and the cleanliness of the place is your responsibility, your shared responsibility with others in the area. You can't say, I'm not bothered. As long as I live in these four boundaries of my house and I'm all right, that is all right. And you see how people use cartoon to caricature the situation. You know, you take your rubbish and throw across the border. You say, you know, it's outside my boundary, so it is all right. So as long as the rubbish is not on your side of the boundary, then it is okay. But that is wrong. We need to be more involved. We need to see what is our responsibility as a member of a community or as citizens of a country. We need to be more involved. Involved in the right way. Okay? Apathy is not right. So just as we want to avoid being busybodies, but don't swing to the other extreme where you are not bothered when it is your responsibility to be involved. Kita tahu, perkara kedua ialah, sekiranya kita tidak ada apa-apa minat mengenai kebenaran, kita tidak akan mendapat manfaat dari kebenaran. Bagi Pilatus, dia dampiri Yesus Kristus, dan Yesus Kristus sudah mengaku diri sebagai cahaya atau terang dunia ini, dan Pilatus hidup dalam kegelapan. Dia sudah bersentuh dengan cahaya, tetapi dia masih lagi hidup dalam kegelapan. Dalam peristiwa ini, selepas mereka berpisah, Pilatus masih lagi dalam kegelapan. Itu sesuatu yang sungguh-sungguh sayang. Sungguh sedih. Dan apa yang terjadi ialah, kita dapati dalam kehidupan kita, ada kalanya kita jangan campur tangan dalam hal-hal yang tak terkena mengena dengan kita. Tetapi dalam hal yang lain, apabila ia menjadi tanggungjawab kita, kita seharusnya campur tangan. Kita tak boleh tak mengambil berat mengenai hal itu. Dan mengenai kebenaran, itu menjadi tanggungjawab kita untuk mengetahui apakah dia kebenaran. Kita tak boleh kata, kita hidup dalam dunia ini, kehidupan kita sepunya. Jangan orang menghiraukan kita, kita tidak menghiraukan orang lain, kita tak kisah apakah dia kebenaran. Bila kita menyentuh mengenai kebenaran, itu ialah kewajipan kita, tanggungjawab kita. Kita seharusnya cari dan tahu apa dia kebenaran. Sebenarnya, apabila Yesus Kristus menanyakan kepada Pilatus, Pilatus menanyakannya, adakah kamu raja kepada orang-orang Yahudi? Yesus berjawab dalam ayat ke-34, engkau yang mengatakan demikian atau orang lain yang mengatakan hal ini mengenai aku? Apa sedang Yesus buat? Yesus sebenarnya ingin Pilatus tahu. Dalam hal ini, kamu sendiri mesti ada pendirian. Jangan dengar saja orang-orang lain. Apakah pendirianmu? Apakah ini pendirian kamu sendiri? So what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to Pilate on this occasion is, you can't be uninvolved. You can't be disinterested. You ask me, are you the king of the Jews? I'm asking you, is this what you are saying or what you are hearing others say about me? So the Lord Jesus is like saying to him, don't just listen to what others say. What I want you to consider is, what is your own opinion? What is your stand about this matter? You can't just be repeating what others say about me. You yourself have to come to a clear stand as to who I am. And throughout you discover, Pilate is like evading the issue and Christ is trying to draw him back to this issue. And you see now in verse 35, Pilate says, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? So Pilate was focusing on accusing Jesus Christ and turning attention to what possible wrong Jesus had done. But the Lord was too smart for that. The Lord was not going to be diverted away to anything that he possibly has done wrong. He's not even going to answer that question, what wrong he has done, because the answer is simple. None. See? He has done nothing wrong. So why waste time answering that? You see? So Pilate is trying in the interaction to divert attention to make this accusation stick on Jesus, to make Jesus Christ on the defensive. But you discover the Lord Jesus Christ is avoiding that and coming back to the issue, namely you. I'm concerned for you. See? So the Lord is actually pressing on the conversation to put Pilate on the defensive, to deal with the issue that to the Lord was far more important than his own trial. So Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I would not be delivered to the Romans. No. Look very carefully. To the Jews. In other words, the Lord is saying to Pilate, I'm not here accusing you. See? The Jews I regard as in the greater wrong for delivering me to you. He was going to make this clear later on. But at this point, in the conversation, he's directing attention to who he was and what he has come to do. He wanted Pilate's attention to be on Christ, person and ministry. He wanted Pilate to come to know more clearly who Jesus Christ really was and what he has come to do. He's not wanting Pilate to entertain the accusation of the Jews. Therefore, he totally avoided answering the question raised by Pilate, what wrong have you done? Because Jesus Christ was not going to be diverted from his attempt to draw Pilate to come and trust in him. See now? So here you discover that the Lord was actually being merciful to Pilate and trying to draw him to come and consider his own personal salvation. The Lord wanted him to be more concerned about finding out the truth. You can't be just disinterested, Jadi dalam peristiwa ini, Pilatus coba menumpukan perhatian kepada Yesus Kristus mengenai tuduhan yang dibawa oleh orang Yahudi. Tetapi Yesus Kristus enggan menjawab soalan sama ada dia membuat apa-apa yang salah. Kerana dia tidak ada buat apa-apa yang salah. Yang penting sekarang ialah Pilatus sendiri. Apakah pendiriannya terhadap kebenaran? Dia seharusnya mengambil kira siapakah sebenarnya Yesus Kristus dan apakah yang sedang dia buat bila dia datang ke dunia ini. Jadi Yesus sebenarnya cuba menyaksi kepada Pilatus. Dia sebenarnya inginkan Pilatus memikirkan keselamatan diri sendirinya. Dan selagi Pilatus enggan mengetahui siapakah dia Yesus Kristus sebenarnya, dan bagaimana boleh Pilatus sendiri dapat keselamatan yang kekal melalui Yesus Kristus, dia tidak akan menikmati apa kebaikan dari peristiwa ini. Jadi Yesus sekarang sedang bersama-sama dengan Pilatus yang berada dalam keadaan kegelapan rohani. Kegelapan dengan cahaya sedang bersentuh. Selepas mereka berpisah, adakah orang yang dalam kegelapan ini mendapat terang? Sayangnya tidak. Tapi yang ingin kita teliti di sini ialah Yesus dengan sengaja coba menyaksi kepada Pilatus. Itu yang kita telitikan. And now you see, Pilate, on hearing from the Lord Jesus Christ that his kingdom was not of this world, that if he were of this world, he would have asked his men, his servants, to fight and prevent him from being handed over to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. That is the emphasis. See, yes, I am king. Yes, I have my rule. But it is not of this world. It is not political in nature. You shouldn't feel yourself threatened in this matter. More important is to know who I am and what I can do for you. Okay? Now, Pilate was drawn to focus on the right thing. Pilate said to him, "Are you a king then?" Yes! Now, the Lord Jesus Christ has succeeded to focus attention on him from the right or correct angle. See, now you're asking me the right question. Are you a king then? Yes, you have rightly said so. See? For this cause I was born, and for this cause I've come into the world. So now focusing upon not only his kingship, but upon what he has come to do. That I come specifically for this purpose, that I should bear witness to the truth. Then now pressing home the witness to Pilate himself. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So put it more plainly, Pilate, you have arrived at a point where you have to act. Would you come and accept what I have said? Would you come and trust in me? Would you come and seek eternal life from me? Okay? So you see now, when Pilate was pressed to that point, instead of surrendering himself to Jesus Christ, acknowledging his need of Jesus Christ and pleading with Jesus Christ to deal mercifully to him and give him eternal life, Pilate threw away this golden opportunity. He just turned away and said, "What is truth?" Sad. Darkness has come into contact with light, and after they parted ways, the person who was in darkness still remained in darkness. Jadi Yesus Kristus inginkan Pilatus menanyakan perkara yang lebih penting yang ada kena-mengena dengan diri sendirinya. Jangan pikirkan tuduhan orang Yahudi. Pikirkan siapa sebenarnya aku ini. Dan bila Yesus berkata, ya, aku sememangnya pemimpin atau pemerintah. Aku ada kerajaan sendiri. Tetapi bukan kerajaan dalam dunia ini. Jadi Pilatus terasa lega. Ini bukan mengenai politik. Ini bukan mengenai orang yang cuba datang melawan aku. Jadi Pilatus rasa lega. Tetapi Pilatus sekarang sudah mempelajari sesuatu. Oh, jadi kamu ini seorang raja. Ya, sebenarnya aku ini raja. Dan aku datang ke dunia ini untuk tujuan tertentu. Dan Yesus Kristus pun memberitahu Pilatus sesiapa yang inginkan kebenaran, dia akan datang kepada aku. Okay. Dengan lain kata, Pilatus, engkau sendiri boleh menikmati kehidupan kekal sekiranya kamu datang kepada aku. Okay. Tapi Pilatus membuangkan peluang yang cantik sekali itu. Peluang yang bagus sekali itu. Dia tidak mengaku diri orang yang berdosa. Dia tidak memohon supaya Kristus mengampuninya. Dia tidak mencari kehidupan kekal dari Yesus Kristus. Dia mengalih diri dari Yesus Kristus dan kata, apa hadiah kebenaran? Jadi peluang yang sungguh baik itu sudah dibuang oleh Pilatus. Pilatus sudah datang mendampiri Yesus Kristus, menyentuhnya sedekat itu, tetapi berpisah dalam keadaan kegelapan lagi. So what we are trying to say is, you can benefit from the truth only when you are interested in the truth yourself. You can't just stay at a distance. You can't just claim that you want to know more of the truth, but you know it in an intellectual manner and you're not considering what effect it has upon your life. You cannot just claim interest in an intellectual way. You must have an interest in who really Jesus Christ is and what he can do for you. You see? So in life, there are certain things which you cannot say, I'm not interested, I'm not bothered, I don't want to be concerned. It will not do you good. As far as that knowledge is concerned, as far as taking drugs is concerned, as far as living a liberal life is concerned, there is no need for us to know all those. You don't experience the pleasures that your friends are talking about. It does not matter. That belongs to the realm of the dark. That knowledge you do not have to know. And you don't have to feel that you have missed out on anything. But when it comes to knowing the truth and knowing more of Jesus Christ, you need to know. You cannot be just disinterested. You really have to show an interest and come and find out who Jesus Christ really is and what you may benefit from him. We move on to the third matter. Only those who hear the voice of Jesus are of the truth. What is required to benefit from the truth? You must come to recognize who Jesus Christ really is. He really is the Christ. God has given him all authority in heaven and on earth. He has come to this world to save for himself a people. He has accomplished all that by his death and by his resurrection. At the point when Pilate was interacting with him, Jesus Christ was so close to the point of death. And note that his death was not going to be by stoning or by any other method. His death was only going to be in accordance to what the Old Testament prophesied and in accordance to what Jesus Christ himself had said concerning his own death. Remember, on at least two occasions in this Gospel of John, he has already said that he would be raised up from the ground. In John chapter 3, he tells us that just as Moses raised up the bronze serpent, so the Son of Man will be raised up. In John chapter 10, again he said that when he's raised up, he will draw all nations to himself. So when Pilate was confronted with Jesus Christ on that occasion, Pilate did not realize that very soon the exact way of Christ dying was going to be fulfilled, that he was going to be crucified on the cross, and therefore fulfilling the scriptures, fulfilling Christ's words, fulfilling God's will, that Christ must be lifted up high as an offering for the sins of his people. And when the Lord Jesus Christ faced his forthcoming death, he was so certain that it was going to be accomplished, that he had on many occasions already spoken as though it was already done. And no one, no force, nobody at all could turn God's plan away. No, God's eternal plan was being unfolded, and it was definite that it would be accomplished, because no one could turn it, no one could change it or hinder it in any way. No one has any power, not even the devil. So the Lord could speak as though it was already done. So for us studying the passage today, we saw the interaction between Pilate and the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to realize that if Pilate had known, if Pilate had recognized his own need, Pilate should have quickly dropped everything else, discounting his position, discounting his reputation before the Jews, discounting his face before people. He should just drop everything and pleaded, he should have pleaded with the Lord Jesus Christ and confessed, "I'm a great sinner. I now know who you really are. You are the Son of God, the promised Savior of the world. I know that you have come to die to save sinners, and I'm one of them. Please, do not forget me. Do not reject me. Give me eternal life." So we must recognize who Jesus Christ really is, that he is the promised Savior. And we must come to understand that he came specifically to fulfill God's will of laying down his life as the perfect sacrifice for the sins of his people. He really had to die on the cross of Calvary. So when you hear his voice, you must follow him. You must obey. You must obey by repenting of your sinful life and coming to trust in him who died on the cross to save sinners. You must make up your mind from now on to live for him. So how may we benefit from the truth? Hear the voice of Jesus Christ and follow him. The Lord had said in John chapter 10 that his sheep will hear his voice, and they will follow him. In short, you must not only hear the message of the gospel, you must also respond to the call of the gospel. The reason is because Jesus Christ is himself the truth. And those who are of the truth, those who belong to Jesus Christ, they will recognize who he really is and come and follow him. Jadi perkara ketiga ialah sesiapa yang mendengar suara Yesus Kristus, mereka akan datang dan ikutinya. Orang yang dimiliki Yesus Kristus akan mengenali siapakah dia. Dia ialah juru selamat yang dijanjikan. Dia akan mati atas salib untuk orang-orang kepunyaannya. Dan banyak kali Yesus Kristus menyebut kematiannya seperti sudah berlaku. Kerana kematiannya sudah ditentukan oleh Tuhan dari kekekalan. Tidak ada kuasa dan tidak ada siapapun yang boleh menghalang rencana Tuhan itu atau memberhentikannya. Jadi itu penting. Kita mengenali siapakah dia Yesus Kristus. Siapa kita mengenali apakah dia yang buat atas salib. Salib untuk menyelamatkan orang-orangnya. Dan bila kita mendengar suaranya, kita datang dan ikut dia. Kita bertobat, kita percaya kepadanya, dan kita membuat keputusan untuk mengikutinya buat selama-lamanya. Pendek kata, kita mendengar berita Injil, dan bukan saja mendengar berita Injil, kita membuat respon terhadap Injil itu. Kita dengar suara Yesus Kristus, kita mengenali siapa dia, kita seharusnya ikut dia. So you see now that religious hypocrisy is never compatible with the truth. Personal disinterest will never benefit from the truth. Only those who hear the voice of Jesus are of the truth. So, as we come to a close tonight, do you hear the voice of Jesus? Come to him. Come and follow after him. Look at the Jews again. They were religious hypocrites, full of religion, outwardly portraying themselves as so religious, but they were totally devoid of true spirituality. They were only outwardly religious, but inside they were empty. There was no spiritual substance in them. It is no good just putting on a show of being religious. We see too many of them around in this part of the world. We are not interested in mere religion. We want true spiritual knowledge. We want true spirituality. Religious hypocrisy truly is incompatible with the truth. And secondly, personal disinterest will never benefit from the truth. When you are not interested, when you are not bothered, when you are not concerned to know who Jesus Christ really is and what he can give to you, you discover you will not benefit from any close interaction with him. Look at Pilate. He was so near. A man living in darkness was being brought to light itself. They were so near. They were so near. They were interacting on that occasion. And when they parted ways, Pilate was still in the dark. He threw away that golden opportunity to come to know who Jesus Christ really was, to gain eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. He just lost that golden opportunity. And for ourselves, we want to know, how may we benefit from the truth? It is only those who hear the voice of Jesus. To hear him means you recognize what he's saying. You understand what he's saying. And you respond to what he's saying. You know the truth and you obey the truth. Only then can you say you are of the truth. You belong to the truth. You belong to Jesus Christ. Because you have shown it by responding to him. You recognize who he was and you have responded to him. So in conclusion then, if you were to benefit from tonight's passage, you must come to Jesus Christ. There is simply no other way. Just like Pilate, just like the Jewish leaders, they were so close, they come to know about Christ, but they parted ways, still in the dark. Now tonight, you hear about Christ, you know who he really is, you know what he has come to do by his death on the cross of Calvary. The voice of Jesus Christ continue to be sounded forth in your hearing. Now is it going to be the case of people in darkness interacting with the light, having this close interaction, and then parting ways, and yet still remaining in the dark? Or are you going to come to interact with the light, and the light is imparted to you. You become children of light, and from now on you follow Jesus Christ. Now, which will be your situation tonight? Come to Jesus Christ. Come and trust in Him. Come and plead to Him to have mercy upon you, a sinner. Come and follow after Jesus Christ, and you will prove yourself to be of the light. Jadi kita ingin menikmati kebaikan dari Yesus Kristus, kebenaran dunia ini. Kita sudah mendengar firman-Nya, kita sudah menyentuh, menampirinya. Bila kita berpisah, adakah kita masih lagi dalam kegelapan? Ataupun cahayanya, terangnya akan dipindahkan kepada kita dan kita mengikutinya selama-lamanya sebagai dunia atau cahaya atau terang dalam dunia juga. Jadi apakah keadaan kita yang mendengar? Adakah kita malam ini akan berpisah secara sebagai orang yang masih lagi dalam kegelapan, atau kita menjadi anak cahaya? Kita menjadi terang seperti Yesus dan mengikut suara-Nya. Datanglah kepada Yesus Kristus, percaya kepada Dia.